Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn one more time to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. If you've been coming to church the last few services, we've been spending some time looking at this scripture here, this prophecy from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. It's a messianic prophecy that's looking forward to not only the birth of our Lord in His first coming, but also His second coming when He comes as King. And so we've been spending some time examining these significant names of the Lord Jesus. And Isaiah tells us here in chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Tonight I want to focus on another name given here. He shall be called the Prince of Peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord, we are so thankful. We rejoice tonight in all the blessings of the service. And as we open up your word, we pray you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the truth of these tremendous words that were written so many years ago that are still relevant and needful for us to study tonight. Pray you to illumine our minds, but also prepare our hearts to be ready and willing to obey all that you show us. Would you fill me and use me as your vessel tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. You know, we have tried to emphasize the fact that when we say a name, sometimes there's a lot more to a name than just a face. Oftentimes when we think of a name, we think of someone's character or personalities. And last week we mentioned several popular names that sometimes stir thoughts in our minds beyond just a face. But the name of Jesus Christ and the names that he's given in the Bible ought to stir our hearts for who he is and all that he's done for us. Jesus in Revelation 22 verse 13 said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." In the Greek alphabet, that's the first letter and the last letter in the Greek alphabet. And what Christ was showing us here, that he is our all-sufficient Lord and God. That he's everything we need from A to Z, you could say. And the names of Christ encourage us that he is our all-sufficient Lord and Savior. And tonight I want to just spend a few moments here quickly to read to you a list of some of the names that we find in the Word of God for Christ from A to Z. He is our Advocate. He is our all in all. He is our Alpha. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Balm of Gilead. He's our banner over us. He's our blessed hope. He is the Bridegroom. He is Christ. He is the Consolation of Israel. He is the Counselor. He's the Desire of all nations. He is Emmanuel. He is Eternal Life. He's the Everlasting Father. He's faithful and true. He's the Friend of publicans and sinners. He's the Friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's God manifest in the flesh. He's our Good Shepherd. He is our Great High Priest. He is the I Am. He is the Inhabiter of Eternity. He is Jehovah. And certainly the names for Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, our Provider, Jehovah Nisi, our Banner, Jehovah Shalom, our Peace, Jehovah Tzidkenu, our Righteousness, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is Present, Jehovah Mkadesh, our Sanctifier, Jehovah Rapha, our Healer, Jehovah Rohi, our Shepherd. He is Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the King of Glory. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Light of the World. He's the Man of Sorrows. He's our Mediator. He's a name that's above every name. He's Omega. He is the only begotten Son. He is our Passover. He is our Peace. He is our Physician. He is the Power of God. He is the Quickening Spirit. He is our Redeemer, the Resurrection and the Life. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He is the Truth. He's the Unspeakable Gift. He is the Vine. He is our Victory. He is the Way. He is the express image of God's person. He is God's yes and amen. And he is the zeal of the Lord of hosts and the King of Zion. The names of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to stir our hearts. All that he is and all that he does for us. And this Christmas season, especially this year in 2020, can we have that focus as we close this year out and celebrate Christ, that we remember it's always all about Him. It's not about us. It's not about America. It's not about your money and your bank account, your economy. It's all about Christ. And I pray that God exalts the name of Christ in our lives as Christians. And tonight I want us to examine this prophecy that Isaiah gives us regarding the names of the Messiah that would come. And the Bible says His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. How is Jesus the Prince of Peace? Well, first of all, Jesus came to give us peace with God. You know, when we think of Jesus as the Prince of Peace, the kind of peace maybe most people think of is maybe world peace, maybe harmony, like no more war, no more fighting, no more terrorism, or maybe peace amongst just individual people. We think of that type of peace and harmony where there's no arguing, no bickering back and forth. That's what most people perhaps think of when they think of peace on earth. And certainly in our lives, there are several areas that do need peace. There are several areas of conflict in our lives. There's inner conflict. In our own hearts, many struggle with doubt and fear and uncertainties, and they are in need of inner peace. You know, it's interesting. Mental health professionals tell us that this time of year, this Christmas season, is actually a time when many people desire inner peace. And the holiday season, oftentimes, it can be a depressing time for many people with unmet expectations, perhaps, or maybe stress that gets multiplied, and they need inner peace. Certainly, there is interpersonal conflict amongst other people. And you know what? If you've been alive long enough, you know that people struggle against other people. If you say amen, you're probably embarrassing someone in your family right now. But the reality is we argue, we get into arguments, and we bicker, we struggle with our family, with our coworkers, with our friends, and there's with strangers even. You know, people fight over parking spots at the mall, right, this time of year. And so there's so much interpersonal conflict. There's crime. There's racism. There's abuse. There's violence. And these are everyday occurrences in our world today. When you look at the divorce rates in our country, they are evidence that there's conflict between husbands and wives. And unfortunately, this Christmas season sometimes elevates interpersonal conflict. There's international conflict. We're living in a world full of war, terrorism. In fact, it's interesting, the Middle East, the very place that our Lord was born, is actually the least peaceful place on earth tonight. So our world is full of international conflict. And while there is a great need for inner peace and interpersonal peace and international peace, the kind of peace that Jesus came to bring is not the peace that many people think about. The kind of peace that Jesus first and foremost came to bring is peace with God. We need to understand that we can never enjoy peace in this world unless we first make peace with God. See, the Bible says there's a big problem. The problem is sin. And let's get specific, your sin, my rebelliousness towards a holy God. You see, whenever we have those wrong thoughts, those sinful things that we give into, those sinful deeds that we do, we're breaking the commandments of God, and we are guilty before a holy God. And we have to make peace with God. So there's a big problem. We're at enmity with God. God's a holy God in heaven. He has nothing to do with sin. He has no fellowship with darkness. But all we are is sinful people, sinful creatures tonight. And so how can we come into union and relationship and have peace with a holy God? And that's why Jesus Christ came. He came to reconcile us, to bring us into harmony and peace with a holy and righteous God. Go with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Hope you understand tonight that our world is full of sin. And we don't have to look very far to find that sin. Just look at the man in the mirror and we're looking at a sinful creature. But notice what the Bible says here in Romans 5 verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we make peace with God? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get down to verse number 7. The Bible says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." You see, literally, our sin made us at enmity with God. He's a holy and righteous God. We're sinners on the other end of the spectrum. And something needed to happen to bridge the gap, to reconcile us together, to bring us into union and harmony with God. And that's why Jesus came. He didn't just come to be a nice, cute baby in a manger. He came to die on a cruel cross for your sin and mine. And the Bible says here, you know, some people would give their life for a good person. Maybe, I'd like to think, maybe those of you that are fathers or husbands in this room, we would give our lives for our families, wouldn't we? We would take a bullet. We would do anything to protect our children, our families. Maybe even our friends. Maybe I would hope we would maybe even try to go that far. We would be willing to do that for our friends. But what about someone you don't know, or what about someone that's your enemy? But that's what Jesus did. He came to die for his enemies, to bring us into holiness and righteousness and reconciliation with God. So Jesus came to bring peace on earth, but first and foremost, this peace starts by making peace with God. See, this peace and forgiveness is available to anyone who comes to Jesus Christ and trusts in him. You see, when you repent of your sin and you turn to Christ and Christ alone, the Bible says he forgives you. All of your sins are washed in his blood. All the sins in your past, your present, and future are washed clean. And before God, you are righteous. Not because you yourself are such a good person or, wow, I'm so special, I'm so wonderful, but because of the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. He died to take our sins away, the Bible tells us. And so I love that Christmas hymn we often sing, "Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." That's where peace begins, peace with God. But then secondly, we have this need also for peace in our hearts. Or you could say the peace of God. We're living in a world that's so tumultuous. This year we've been beaten up, haven't we? We've had a global pandemic, tumultuous election year, all types of civil and social unrest and upheaval, and not to mention the personal issues that many of us struggle with or battle. And certainly we can say tonight, I can preach to you tonight, that Jesus Christ came not only to give us eternal peace and eternity in heaven, but you can experience the peace of God tonight in the midst of a troublesome world. You can have peace in your heart. You see, I believe that the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. And he equips us. He gives us the resources to go through this sinful world. I believe Christian people are the best equipped to endure a world that's full of trouble. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." See, we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to fret and be so concerned. We can pray and trust in the peace that the Lord gives us, the peace of God. And as Christians, we have to also remember that when the Bible talks about peace, peace does not mean easy. Jesus promised peace. He did not promise easy. In fact, he promised us the opposite. He told us there would be tribulation. He told us there would be trouble in this world. He says in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You know something? Christians still have problems in their lives. You know, you might hear your neighbors yelling and fighting. You think, wow, what's going on over there? But they can hear when you're fighting too. Do you know that? Yeah, Christians have problems in their home too. Yeah, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that there's no problems in your life. Everything's just going to be perfect, easy, and smooth. The Bible never promised that. Bible said there's going to be trouble. There's going to be sickness, disease. There's going to be those moments that make you scared where you wonder, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to feed these kids? How am I going to make this marriage survive? How am I going to stay faithful? Those problems are very real, and they're happening even in Christian families. But Christian people are the best equipped to endure that because we have the peace of God. You see, we can be a world that's filled with trouble, but our hearts are filled with peace. Isn't that a blessing tonight? When you come to Christ, He gives us that peace that passes all understanding. He gives us that joy, unspeakable and full of glory. You see, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of Jesus Christ. Lord, this problem is here. It's real, but You're here too. And Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm looking to You. I'm believing on You. That's the peace that only Jesus Christ gives. And as Christians, we have this wonderful peace that comes from the Lord. The song says, how can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? Again, I believe as Christians, we have the resources to best equip us to go through a life that's full of trouble. You see, actually, we as Christians develop the capacity to understand why there is wrong and hurt in this world. It's a sin-cursed world. There's going to be hurts and wrongs everywhere. And in fact, because we have Christ, we have the capacity to forgive. You know why so many people lack peace? Because they're not embracing the gospel centrality of forgiveness. Forgiveness. If you have Christ, you ought to have forgiveness in your heart for those who wrong you or hurt you. And also, when you have Christ, you realize something. Boy, I've probably hurt some people too. I've probably wronged some others too. And we develop that capacity for forgiveness, for empathy, for sympathy, for love, for compassion. And it all comes from Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I want you to consider, what do you turn to for peace? Because I know that you have problems too. Amen. I know we all, because we all do. What do you turn to for peace? Some people turn to the bottle. Some people turn to the drugs and the vices of this world. They try to drown out those problems. They get that high, get that thrill. Then they recover from that high and those problems are still there, aren't they? Some people turn to all types of things to help them to cope. They have coping mechanisms. Whether good or bad, whether it's a vice or something that people would say is a good thing. But let me tell you, those things never truly satisfy. Only Christ can give us lasting peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. You see, as Christians, we can lay our head down on our pillow at night when our friends are gone. Maybe they're unavailable. Maybe they even leave us behind. When the money runs out or isn't enough. When all the pressure of life is all around us, we know we still have Jesus. We can have His peace. But number three tonight, peace on earth. We need to have peace with God. We can have the peace of God, but peace on earth. Again, this is a prophecy here in Isaiah 9:6 that Jesus Christ would be the Prince of Peace. So what about the peace that Isaiah is talking about? What about the peace on earth that the angels said, right? They proclaim glory to God, goodwill in the highest, right? And they proclaim goodwill towards men and peace on earth. They proclaimed all those things. But when we consider the first coming of Christ at His birth, He came into a world that was torn by international conflict and war and brokenness. And the first time He came, we did not see international peace. In fact, we do not see international peace even still today. So much conflict and war in our human history. That's because the only way there can be true, lasting international peace, peace on earth, is at the second coming of Christ. The Bible says Christ came the first time, but He's also coming again. And when He comes, He's going to judge wickedness and reward righteousness and establish a kingdom. And the Bible says at that judgment day, at that last day, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And at that moment, when that happens, then there'll be peace. You see, there'll be peace on this earth because our Christ is ruling from David's throne, the Bible tells us. Look at Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." You know, tonight we don't have time, but I could outline to you all the Old Testament prophecies written hundreds of years before Christ were born that were accurately fulfilled. And this prophecy speaks to his second coming, that Christ will rule from Jerusalem. That's where David's throne is. You know, there was a time when people would say, that's impossible. The Jewish people don't even have a place to call home. And then in 1948, they finally went back into their nation, had their nation state reestablished. And I believe tonight, I'm not trying to be, you know, some kind of, you know, some people always say the Lord's coming back tomorrow and set dates. But I believe his coming is sooner than we think. The return of the Lord to fulfill these prophecies are sooner than we think. And he's coming again. And he's going to sit on David's throne in Jerusalem to rule over this entire world as king. And when he does that, then there'll be perfect justice. Then there'll be perfect peace established all throughout the earth. That's when there will be peace on earth. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. The Bible says, "And many shall go out and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." You know, it's a sad reality that weapons of warfare are necessary in our world today, in a world full of conflict and war and evil. But there is coming a day where the Bible says all the weapons of warfare can be set aside. And so the Bible is literally saying here, turn them into equipment for agriculture is what the Bible is saying here. You won't need them anymore. Because there'll be perfect peace. Because Christ will be ruling over the earth. And at that day, there will be peace on earth. And so this prophecy from Isaiah, if we can summarize it, Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace, he came to provide a way for sinful people to make peace with a holy God. He came to bring peace in our hearts and give us the resources, the ability to overcome the trouble in our world. And finally, when Jesus comes again at his second coming, he will establish his kingdom. The world will be united in his peace. Again, the Bible is very clear that there can be no peace unless you have the Prince of Peace. Sometimes we hear the phrase, no justice, no peace. But the reality is, no Jesus, no peace. We can also say, to know, K-N-O-W, Jesus, is to know peace. You see, he is the Prince of Peace. And here tonight, I want to encourage us that though much of these prophecies are still future, still yet to come, there's a sense as Christians tonight, in our hearts, Jesus Christ is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, right now in our hearts. He's ruling and reigning. He strengthens us. He equips us. He enables us. Hey, he saves us and gives us eternal life. Do you know Jesus tonight? I'm not asking, do you go to church regularly? I'm not asking if you do good deeds or you're a good person. Because the Bible is clear, we're sinners and we desperately need a Savior. But I've got good news. Jesus came to be our Savior. Oh, tonight, would you come to him if you haven't and put your faith in him and him alone, and he will give you peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, we desperately are in need of peace. Lord, we in our sin and our rebellion against a holy God need to make peace with God. Lord, we living in a troublesome world, we need peace in our own hearts. And Lord, we do pray for peace on earth. And we await that glorious day when you return, when you will usher in genuine peace, lasting peace on earth. And Lord, we pray even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, our prayer is that you would encourage the saints, but also convict the lost and bring them to Christ even tonight. With our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, we often give invitations in our church to give folks an opportunity to respond. I don't want to embarrass anyone. Christians are praying, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. But maybe you're here and you need to come to Jesus. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. You can respond and receive Christ even tonight. That can be the best Christmas present you receive is eternal life, forgiveness of sin, and genuine peace. I wonder right now if there's anyone that would say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to come to Jesus. I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up and I'll pray for you? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out, but I will pray for you. Say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need to be saved. God's speaking to me. Lord, we're thankful for the testimony of the saints tonight. But Lord, I pray that we would just continue to live in light of all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for just the blessings we've had in the service and in the preaching of your word. Continue to minister in all of our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.